You guys, it's Andy's Girls. I had to record an emergency episode because one of my birthday wishes has come true. I am so excited. It's a rainy day. I am, in fact, not recording in the office right now. I'm recording on the couch, the people's couch. And it's episode, I don't know. I literally have no idea. I'm on the people's couch because I had a night, okay? I had a birthday day that was quiet and contemplative and sassy. I spent 3 hours at the most indulgent. It was honestly one of the best things I've ever done for myself. If you happen to be in New York or one of the areas where this spa has locations, it's a couple shekels, but it could not be more worth it. I went to Aire, which is spelled A-I-R-E. It's sort of like the Houston, when you know a Houston Street here in New York, of spas, of like, if you know, when it comes to pronunciation, and I certainly did not know. But anyway, it's this like, they have ancient baths, an ancient bath ritual, all of these different pools. I was floating in a salt bath pool shenanigan for forever, and then had a massage and then went back to the pool, and you're just floating in the water. And it was like very dark with candles. Google image it, A-I-R-E. I was there for 3 hours. I was renewed. It was a genuine new beginning. And then last night had a phenomenal dinner at Le Cucu, which is a fancy French restaurant here in New York that is very, it just is one of those places that you go to on special occasions. It's just so lovely and warm and just the most unbelievable service. And so had a great, great birthday. And thanks to all of you for sending well wishes on Instagram, all that good stuff. But then just now, I'm recording this literally Thursday early afternoon on the people's couch, still in pajamas, living my best life because Jenna fucking Lyons is back to New York. And I said to myself, you know what? This is the, and if you can hear sirens in the background, welcome to New York. This is the perfect excuse to do what was, to revisit one of my favorite moments in housewife history, the language arts, which is a reading I did actually originally on the Patreon, but I'm going to revisit it on this episode. A reading rainbow style episode of AG where I read one of the best pieces I've ever read. And it was a profile of Bethany Frankel in New York Magazine's The Cut. So I just decided as a birthday gift to all of us, and happy birthday to all of us, by the way, and also Vicky G and Mariah, that it was important to kind of reread that piece, which I haven't read since November when I read it in full on the Patreon. So stay tuned for that in just a couple minutes. But in the meantime, Kate Arthur, friend of the pod, breaking the news with Variety today that all 6 Real Housewives of New York reboot cast members will return for season 15. Yes, that includes Jenna Lyons. So this is per Kate Arthur in Variety. Following Bravo's reboot of The Real Housewives of New York City last year, the network has announced that all 6 cast members are set to return for its upcoming season 15. I can't believe we're already in season 15. That's wild. But also season 2. You know what I'm saying? Yes, that includes even the ostensibly elusive, seemingly reluctant Jenna Lyons, who came into the show's 14th season as the cast's only famous person and revealed herself over the course of the show to be a shy, charming oddball, and who, since the season premiered in July of last year, has been the subject of endless rumors speculating that she would not care to repeat the experience. Yet Lyons is in fact coming back to Real Housewives of New York full time, which is good because fans have nicknamed her Jenna fucking Lyons, and that shouldn't go to waste, along with Bryn Whitfield, Erin Leashy, Saeed Silva, Jessel Tank, and Uba Hassan. Bravo and Shed Media, which produces the show, have already begun production. The rehiring of the entire cast signifies Bravo's endorsement that it's a risky experiment to start over fully with The Real Housewives of New York City, as first reported in Variety in March 2022, has been deemed a success by the network. After a disastrous, unlucky season 13 of Real Housewives of New York, Bravo went back to the drawing board, wanting to bring in a new cast that would be, as Real Housewives executive producer Andy Cohen put it in an interview at the time, a multicultural group of friends who really best reflect the most exciting city in the country. Anecdotally, judging by social media reactions, recaps, and the output from the prolific content creators who fuel the conversation around Bravo shows, viewers seemed mostly to embrace the new cast to varying extents. The Bravo fandom is never entirely happy, and as the season wore on, some grew tired of the repetitive, unkind intrusions into Tank's marriage to frequent flyer miles obsessive Pavit Randhawa. One hopes that during the show's hiatus, that those who overly fixated on such things will let them go. Oh my God, words are hard the day after your birthday, but also I get the week. As for reports on the internet about two new women joining the group, Bravo isn't commenting on potential new cast members. So aside from me stumbling on a word here or there, Kate Arthur, once again, bringing the news with also more than a healthy dose of sass. I loved it. So couple thoughts on this before I do pivot to that Bethany piece, which truly made my day the first time I read it and also the second, and just thinking about it every day since, though I haven't read it since the fall. Because sometimes when you have just that special moment and special memory, you want to keep it delicate. It's a fragile living being to hear Bethany Frankel opine about the greatness she has brought to the industry built around cottage cheese. That's something that will stay with a person for the rest of their life. Potentially much like cottage cheese. So here's my concern, is that as Kate said in that one line that I read so eloquently, one hopes that during the show's hiatus that those who overly fixated on such things will have let them go. This is my concern, is that as we saw from Aviva Drescher's thankfully fleeting first season apology, there is oftentimes the instinct of housewives who might have expressed or been received with certain villain-esque energy by their cast members and also the audience, a instinct to turn it all around and seem good. Now, I guess thankfully for us, Aviva couldn't really stay in that lane for much longer, but it did make for a sort of lackluster turn of events in that reunion, because she immediately just like threw herself on the floor and said, "Oh, please forgive me, oh mighty gods," referencing obviously Ramona and Sonia Sexy J. And my concern is that one of the things that Bravo-holics delight on is to understand and sometimes criticize, heaven forbid, a certain level of villain energy that exists. And it's I don't want to compare it exactly to Camille, because I actually think she did a really successful job of turning things around, at least for several years. And now I don't know what space we're quite in with Camille, but I would love to see her continue to pop up on BH OVS, is that for a new franchise of women who obviously understand, I would say the majority of them understand the Bravo universe and sure the content creator universe as well, an instinct to not be the villain of like, oh, people dragged me to hell. I would like to have that not happen anymore. So I'm going to do my level best to ensure that I might potentially appear in good graces, but that first off does not work for the actual content of the show if everyone's tiptoeing around each other. And it's also not something that is sustainable, that if you want to talk shit or the purpose of the show is to share your inner thoughts, they're not supposed to always be positive. They're not supposed to like potentially be consistently positive. It's the underdog. You need to have the reason that Jessel popped out is not necessarily because she was, you know, that she was like this innocent doe. It was that she was up against people who were dragging her potentially unnecessary. And she also was a fascinating personality. And so my concern is that because Erin and Sai specifically, I think, were criticized very heavily by the audience, and I'm not saying it was undeserved, especially at many points throughout the season. But my concern is that there will be a shift or a push against that, because obviously, as human people, you don't want to be dragged over the coals for, you know, 14 to 16 episodes, that people are going to try to push away from that. But what are we left with? And then there's the Jenna fucking Lyons of it all. Now, I will never get over, speaking of an apology tour, I will never get over Jenna Lyons not going to BravoCon, because I don't know if she thought it was going to be something that she could negotiate like a business contract and she didn't like the terms of the deal. It felt strategic to me. It felt dismissive of the fans. It felt like she probably genuinely didn't understand what this was and was like, oh, the network wants me to go to Vegas, but they're not paying me what I think I deserve to do this thing. Why would I participate in that? Versus a certain level of sacrifice that I think the majority of the housewives understand that they're taking on as a genuine thank you to the fans, and also as a way to monetize it when you're selling things in the Bravo Bazaar, when you are just for like marketing purposes, you want to be in that space, especially if 150 other Bravo stars and cast members are as well, that this is the thing that you kind of do. It is a larger part of the machine. And I say this noting, by the way, I am assuming that BravoCon is skipping this year because we haven't heard anything about it. And it's at this point, it's like late spring. So I don't know, at least to me, it feels like late spring. It might honestly be early fall at this point. I don't know that it's going to happen this year. I would be fully on board with a gap year and then go straight into 2025. I've been to all three BravoCons. They're incredible. But I just think Vegas, which they did such a good job on, was such a huge undertaking, that I would understand why they might, and I don't know, we might get an announcement that BravoCon 2024 is happening literally tomorrow. It might happen the second that this episode goes up, knowing my luck. But you know, while it's still to be determined whether or not we're getting a BravoCon this year, I was annoyed that Jenna seemingly decided to skip out. And there was some quote that she gave to Deadline or somebody else that she's like, why didn't you go? Oh, I needed to be back home twiddling my thumbs. That's not going to make me feel great. As a Bravo viewer, as a content creator, this kind of dismissiveness of like, I'm above it, when I genuinely do not think that she anticipated being the breakout star. Obviously, nobody in the cast did as well. That's another concern. It's like I'm referencing Jessel, but Jenna was a huge person who was caught in the crossfire with a lot of this, of the cast deciding that she was acting like she was above them and thinking that that was going to be the storyline, instead of the storyline really being the audience reacting and completely disagreeing with that assessment. And so for Jenna to return is a huge shock. I really didn't think she would be back. I thought the reason she wasn't going to BravoCon was because she was tapped out and didn't want to make an investment in a show that she wasn't going to be continuing on. Like, I really genuinely didn't think this was possible. Now, I have heard word on the street that there are, which Kate also referenced, like rumors that there are potentially new people being added to the cast, and they need to. The cast is too small. They weren't expecting it to be this small. Lizzie Savetsky obviously had been cast last season, quit within a few weeks of filming. So I think they need like two full-timers and maybe a friend of. We need to be introducing some friends of to New York. I would love for one of those full-time cast members to have a genuine strong relationship with Jenna and maybe bridge the gap, and to have it be someone just Jenna's age, I think is incredibly important too. And then who knows who the additional cast member would be. And maybe, I don't even know if they're thinking of a friend of, but the shock that I feel and honestly amazement about Jenna returning is great. I am curious, in addition to like whatever PR instincts the cast members have, and you know, God knows I love when that instinct is a complete flop. But in addition to that, I wonder if Jenna is going to fall into the second season curse, or because she has been in the public eye for so long and been such an influential part of the culture conversation in this country for so long, I wonder if she'll be able to kind of skirt that a little bit, because she certainly understands the Bravo universe in a greater way now than she did when she was filming where even that New York Times profile piece sort of acknowledged this being potentially somewhat of a stepping stone for her, a way to get back into the conversation and have do it a little bit on a lark. I wonder how the newfound celebrity specific to the Bravo universe might influence her behavior season two or not. Are people just going to be bowing down? Because the reaction from the cast going in is like, well, she's already such a big name. She was the big celebrity joining the cast. So any decision that she makes, we are going to feel like she's making that because she feels she's above us. And that is going to be the narrative carrying out. Now, what happens if she joins season two, which she obviously has announced just now that she's going to be a part of, and she actually is behaving in a way that proves their point done incorrectly the first season, but apply it to the second? Like, what happens if she does seem to be behaving in a way that gives us a little bit of an evidently she's Madonna energy? Or maybe that's just not a part of Jenna at all when it comes to this, and the cast will figure out a way to reframe. But I think the interesting thing with new generation housewives is that they know there is a sense of what drama needs to take place, but their instincts of what that drama is and how the audience is going to receive them is, to me, the best when it backfires. When like a sense of, oh, this is the person who's going to stick out, I am going to be the star. And when that doesn't happen for that individual housewife or the person they're potentially targeting, that's a show. That's interesting to me. I just hope that there's a way for production, and maybe this will come with the introduction of new cast members and new energies. I hope that there is a way for production to counter possible internal PR troubleshooting. I really hope there is. And I would actually be fascinated. Let me just throw this into the ether. I don't know if it's possible at all. I would be fascinated if there was a little bit of a second season curse energy, a little, with Jessel, because she genuinely and deservedly so got a lot of audience support. I would be curious to see how that changes her energy and her dynamics, and maybe a little bit of a grudge from other members of the cast, because there's nothing more fascinating. We actually saw this with Jen Shaw in Salt Lake City season one, than someone coming to the show, filming the show, assuming that they are going to be the star, and then seeing someone they really didn't anticipate breaking out. That, I think, led to a lot of tension between Jen and Heather, because Heather Gay was, regardless of how you feel about her now, maybe not regardless, but sure, why not, regardless of how you feel about her now, was absolutely the breakout star of season one. You don't need to necessarily love Heather, I think, to understand that that just genuinely took place. She was and is, for many people, remains America's sweetheart when it comes to all things housewifery. My hope for Heather is that there is some sort of embrace of like aspects of her that are something that people can hold on to and potentially criticize. And that opens up different directions in her relationships with the women. There has been a little tiptoe around that, but it hasn't been fully embraced in Salt Lake City. I think that would be fascinating. And with New York, we'll see what new energy potential cast members bring. I would love to see it. I would love to see there be some potential fireworks. And I don't know about you, but last season of New York to me was a complete shock. I had very, very low expectations. I genuinely had a lot of concern coming into the season. I had not heard necessarily very positive things, and I was shaken by how much I enjoyed season one. So here's hoping season two. And I think some of the people who we praised heavily season one may get a little bit of a kick in the pants, and we'll see how that goes down. I mean, genuinely, it is, as many things are in the Housewives universe, an absolute to be continued. But had you asked me any day but today if Jenna fucking Lyons would be back in New York, I would say absolutely not. So hopefully we'll see her at BravoCon 2024, but also maybe 2025. That would be great. I would love to see it.
Paris is always a good idea, and when I schlep on over to Europe, to my favorite city in the world, I bring with me a few important phrases that I have learned from housewives. C'est bon, chic c'est la vie. Je m'appelle the Countess, n'est-ce pas, Luann? And while those key phrases are important when speaking to any French bravoholic, for other matters of life, that's where Rosetta Stone comes in. Rosetta Stone is the trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered, including, of course, French. It features fast language acquisition. It immerses you in so many ways. There's no English translations, so you really learn to speak, to listen, and to think in that language. It's an intuitive process. You pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. J'adore Chris Manzo. Et toi? There's a speech recognition filter which gives you feedback on your pronunciation. It's convenient with desktop and app options, and it's an amazing value. Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership has all 25 languages for any and all trips and language needs in life. That's lifetime access to all 25 language courses Rosetta Stone offers for 50% off. A steal. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, AGs can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today. Today. Spoiler alert, I watch a lot of Bravo. And when I'm not watching Bravo, I'm sitting in the cloth having a moment of spiritual growth. And when that's not happening, I'm living here in New York where there is a lot to do and not a lot of time to do it. The last thing that I want to be thinking about, let alone worrying about, is my hair. Now, I have wavy hair naturally. It also has color processing, which is surprising because I am a spiritual blonde. And as a result, I don't want to have to worry about frizz. That's why I love Way's anti-frizz cream. It works for my hair texture. It works for having wavy hair. It smells great. There are notes of bergamot, Italian lemon. You guys know I just went to Italy. It was for moments like this, violet and more. Having used a lot of products in my hair in the past, I don't like a heavy feeling, especially when you have wavy hair. That's incredibly important, which is why I love the anti-frizz cream. It makes my hair look like me just a little bit better. Way's new anti-frizz cream provides immediate frizz control that lasts up to 72 hours. It helps reduce and repair split ends. And according to a consumer perception study, 90% of participants agreed that their hair looks less frizzy. And I would like to know what that consumer perception study has to say about some original cast members of The Real Housewives of New York. You'll be way obsessed with Way's bestsellers. They're leave-in conditioner, detox shampoo, hair oil, gloss, and so much more. Frizz-free up your schedule with Way. Go to theouai.com and enter promo code Andy for 15% off any product. That's theouai.com, promo code Andy. C'est bon, c'est bon. Now, on another note, as promised, one of the greatest gifts to the Housewives universe was a feature that Brock Soliar, and apologies if I fucked that up, which I'm sure I did, a features writer at New York Magazine, a profile that Brock wrote for The Cut. It was so good, of Bethany Frankel, it was so good that Bethany has never once addressed or promoted it. It was that honest, that real, and a genuine, delightful read. And what I have done on a few Patreon episodes has been a reading rainbow where I just share and give a deep dive and an interesting perspective in my vocal inflections to just great moments of Housewives and Bravo community commentary and truly literature. And so in thinking of the news today, of the fact that, and mazel of the day to everybody on New York for keeping their jobs, let us now turn and revisit a piece that was published, a day that will live in great American history, November 30th,
2023. I have not read this since. I will surely fuck it up. And isn't that also a delight in your ears to hear me, you know, fuck up the words the and a. So here is the piece, and it's called Bethany Frankel Still Dragging Everyone, TikToking a Baked Potato with the Self-Described Erin Brockovich of the Reality TV Reckoning. This is truly, honestly, at the end of the day, kind of a birthday gift to myself because it's just so fun. So here we are. And again, this is with New York Magazine's The Cut. And thank you again, Brock, for the gift that you have given the universe. They're calling me Erin Brockovich, Bethany Frankel tells me, relaxing on the back porch of her luxuriously renovated 18th century Connecticut farmhouse and wearing a fuzzy sweater and house slippers with peace signs on them. She doesn't specify who exactly, besides Bethany Frankel herself, of course, is calling her Erin Brockovich, but she's clearly interested in my buying into the comparison and confident in it. After all, quote, it's taking some courage, end quote, to do what she's been doing, which is this, standing up for the rights of housewives everywhere, or at least those tipsy, downtrodden entrepreneurs of the self who populate the Bravoverse. Frankel, 53, left the Real Housewives of New York City for the second time in 2019, but now she's the force behind what she's calling the Reality Reckoning. An effort to form a union for the ladies like herself who feel chewed up and spit out by the reality machine that made them famous, as well as the crews who tend to get overlooked in the coverage of this campaign. Also, sidebar, where did we leave off with the actual unionizing part of this? She mentioned at one point, I think that she was meeting with SAG or that SAG had like invited her to coffee or whatever at a, you know, Starbucks location in the middle of where they needed to meet, maybe on the border of Connecticut and the SAG universe somewhere in Midtown New York. Where did we leave off with that? I know that there was some sort of like friendly conversation of, do you need help with this? Is this thing real? I don't know where we left off with the union part of it. I think we continued with the Andy is very bad and here's why PR campaign. But when it comes to the actual nuts and bolts of how to operationalize and organize a movement of union folks who work in that field and not necessarily on BravoTV.com. I don't know where we left off, but maybe there'll be a big surprise. Okay, continuing on. Okay, as it so happens, on the same day she invited me to her compound in Fairfield County for lunch, BravoCon was in full swing in Las Vegas, and her phone, she told me, was blowing up with texts from other Bravo celebrities chiming in with their support. I've never had a better relationship with women than after leaving the show, she tells me. That's what's ironic. It's a space of women, but you're not having that many positive experiences because you're fighting for your life. Just because she owes much of her notoriety to Bravo and has in the past expressed feelings of gratitude to her former bosses doesn't mean she's holding back now. Frankel has always been possibly the wittiest and most scathing of the housewives, and to borrow one of her most memorable lines, is ready to mention it all. Just last week, she told Chris Wallace on CNN that starring in RHONY felt like being a prostitute of the highest rate. Perched on her porch, she describes her 8 seasons as like being a caged animal. And though I was warned by her publicist that our visit was supposed to be centered on what a success she's having as an influencer on TikTok, more on that later, and she's quite good at it. And she was hoping to avoid taking pot shots at her old boss and friend, Andy Cohen. She is in person eager to tell me exactly what she thinks. He's been able to sit back and have a Cheshire grin, she says, her arms sternly crossed. He's watching Gladiator. He's watching Gladiator, watching everyone rip each other apart and being entertained by it. He's become very wealthy, profiting off of women's She then gets distracted by the help. I counted at least an assistant, a driver, a plumber, and a housekeeper scurrying around. She clearly emerged a winner from her own time in the Colosseum. Frankel was first introduced to audiences back in 2008. Tagline, New York City is my playground. She was young, sometimes single, childless, and working as a natural foods chef. In other words, she was generally much less privileged, pedigreed, and pretentious than the other RHONY cast members. She was, however, adept at both out-talking and out-reading the others. Remember when she called Countess Luann a dumb drag queen? Fans watched as the skinny girl without a second home in the Hamptons, oy vey, sold her cocktail brand and got just as rich, if not richer, than the rest of the women. She still made money by licensing out the skinny girl name and logo for such things as popcorn, salad dressings, coffee pods, blue jeans, and shapewear, all available on Amazon. And sidebar, she did at one point make a seltzer. I don't know if she still does. It was one of the most disturbing things I've ever tried. And it was the packaging of it was really weird. Like it was kind of blurry and not clear, which I would think a person would want when making a sparkling water, that you actually be able to see the water and that it feels, I don't know, fresh and good. It was terrible. Her popcorn, however, was sensational. I haven't had it in several years, but the popcorn was genuinely, frankly, the shit. Okay, continuing on. In the process, she transformed the franchise in her image from housewife to girl boss. As my colleague Catherine Van Arendonk recently pointed out about the rather sleepy RHNY reboot. Oh, here we go. It's full of younger people, social climbers, women looking for their first marriage, and entrepreneurs. In other words, new RHONY is full of Bethanies. That feels generous, honestly. As Frankel told me, you can crystallize me into this weakling little girl that Bravo propped up, but I did it to spite them. Her case in point, she often mentions the Bethany Clause, which she says is included in Bravo contracts to stipulate that cast members must share a cut of any business they promote on the show. They don't call it the Bethany Clause at Bravo. Frankel is not shy about her accomplishments. Kim Kardashian did a sex tape 15 years ago. Is every person who makes a sex tape a billionaire? She asks me, almost out of nowhere. There have been hundreds of women on Housewives. Has anyone else been on the cover of Forbes magazine? Without her, she says, there never would have been reality stars like Erica Jane. In 2010, Frankel left RHONY, but she returned in 2015 for another high-octane 5 seasons. She thinks it's gone downhill since then. It's too produced, it's too glossy, it's too staged, it's too prepped, it's too perfect, Frankel tells me. Back when I came on, it was infinitely more real. Now it's a manufactured product. She declares this while also swearing that she's not watched the latest season, which maybe too conveniently premiered the same month she kicked off this reckoning. Now she's out for reality justice. What Frankel wants to win is a bit murky. Her lawyers have sent a letter to NBC Universal, Bravo's parent company, accusing it of a pattern of and practice of grotesque and depraved mistreatment of reality stars and crew members, also calling attention to strict confidentiality clauses. They responded by calling those a standard practice in reality programming to prevent disclosure of storylines. Frankel also starred in a big feature in Vanity Fair, which, though it did detail alleged racist behavior by Ramona Singer, and also the show's lack of support for Leah McSweeney's on-camera sobriety, wasn't exactly the bombshell expose it was hyped up to be in Page Six. The Housewives are notorious for beefing in the gossip rags, especially if you're a fan who follows this drama closely. NBC Universal did, however, announce it was updating the alcohol protocol for its shows, though I'm told they were already under review. Not everyone seems to think Frankel is waging this fight in good faith. When one of her former castmates heard I was writing this story, she met me for a drink, where for a few hours she tried to convince me that Frankel's war is nothing more than a scheme to get attention. A hashtag, as this housewife who asked not to be named, but I will name her, probably Carol, put it. She's a creation of Bravo. They created a Frankelstein. Frankelstein. I've spent too many days trying to make my brain not become just a Prosecco. I don't know, rainfall. Gave her power, and as in life imitating art, she turned against her creator. Oh my gosh. I genuinely think this is the glory sometimes of reading things out loud when you had a brain episode 2 years ago, is that my ability to truly form words and figure out how to pronounce them, it's not even that it's on a delay. It's that I'm figuring out words for the first time, which is genuinely a little bit of a challenge for me, which is interesting when I'm also sometimes part-time, project-specific, a little bit of a writer girl. Okay, continuing on. It was obvious and inevitable, she told me. She'd like everyone to believe that she gives a damn about the exploitative nature of reality TV. Instead, what she's doing is desperately trying to keep herself relevant, making herself the hero without doing any real work. It was clear talking to her that as much as all of them insist they are not the characters producers make them out to be on TV, what is real are some of their grudges. It felt like being in an episode of the show, hearing the same accusations, the same digs, the same dirty laundry aired out off camera. As another Real Housewife, Ebony K. Williams, put it to Vanity Fair, fuck Bethany Frankel. You think I'm going to let some white girl speak for me with my experience with a multi-billion dollar corporation? There's also the fact that Frankel had pitched 3 new show ideas to Bravo just months before The Reckoning. Though her final appearance on Watch What Happens Live last December was rather tense. On that episode, Cohen pointed out that though Frankel likes to call the franchise toxic, she also has a podcast called Rewives, devoted to rehashing old storylines. There was a later negotiation to have her come back as a bartender on the late night show, but it never happened. She's the queen of brand extension, after all, and she's been up to other side projects, too. She has a new line of rosé, and also, maybe because she's mostly sober now, has invested in a mocktail company called Mingle. Plus, her disaster relief initiative Be Strong and the podcasting for iHeart, where she's been interviewing not only other housewives like NeNe Leakes, Denise Richards, and her ex-BFF Jill Zarin, but also some curveball guests like Chris Cuomo, David Spade, and Dave Portnoy. Her dream interviews are Oprah, Mark Zuckerberg, and Elon Musk. Frankel admits she never intended to start this reckoning in the first place. It all came together by happenstance after she posted some TikToks over the summer in which she claimed reality stars are the stepchildren, the losers, the mules, the pack horses of the entertainment industry. This was during the WGA and SAG-AFTRA strikes, and the call to arms has gotten her featured in some more elite publications, as she puts it. No matter what she said elsewhere in the press, though, Frankel gives the impression this all might be more of a hobby than a crusade. I have no intentions of being the Fran Drescher of the reality TV space. Honestly, she should be so fortunate. Even in person, no camera crew in sight, it's easy to see why Bethany Frankel makes good television. She is a woman who needs no caffeine, constantly entertaining, even when you're just watching her be herself, talking at you, less interested in what you have to say in response to her than what she has to say next. Her assistant at one point calls this interview a playdate, which is exactly what it feels like. Which is why she's perfect for TikTok, where over the last year and a half, she's built an audience of 1.5 million followers by once again being herself on camera. all the while reviewing beauty products, sharing her thoughts on Meghan and Harry, and posting completely unhinged mukbang-like videos about all the strange things she eats in a day. A video of her devouring a literal bucket of boiled seafood in a hotel room went viral this summer. It was also on the back of my holiday card. Frankel tells me TikTok reminds her of being on reality television. Unfiltered, raw, not always pretty. But at least here she's in charge of what audiences see in the end. She also says she regrets not buying stock in the app, though she does mention the fact that she tried to sue it last year. Anyway, before we got lost in Housewives tea spilling, Frankel in influencer mode had suggested we make lunch, what she calls a girl dinner in TikTok speak. Of course, it will be content. I may film this. I'm filming this. It has to be filmed, she says at rapid fire pace. Do you like caviar? She asks me, holding a baked potato in one hand and an iPhone in the other, while standing in her kitchen, a clean, sparkly Williams-Sonoma domestic land dreamscape. She sprints to the refrigerator for a can of white sturgeon roe from Citarella. Frankel calls herself a high-low kind of gal. I have as much enjoyment at the dollar store as I do Hermes. And so for lunch, we're having a poor man's russet topped with a housewife's fish eggs. You're gonna freak, she promises me. She's also adding cottage cheese, which if you follow, you will know comprises a good portion of her diet. I'm telling you, I'm responsible for this being in production, she says, pointing to the cottage cheese container. Whose brand? She asked me not to name. Without a question, people stop me on the street and talk about cottage cheese. Fancy girl dinner, let's go, she tells her phone, then to me. This is how the sausage gets made. Back to the camera. My potato is out of the oven, and the reason it's on nice fine china is we have a special guest today, she says. And I naively prepare a smile, thinking I'm about to be introduced to her followers. Okay. Caviar is the special guest, she says. Eventually, we take a seat to dig in, and Frankel can't quit telling me how good the meal is. How insane is that? How insane is that? It's like clean. It's totally healthy. There's a little butter. There's cottage cheese. What's wrong? There's salt. It's satisfying. How good is that? She asks after I take my first bite. Then she never stops. I'm so happy that someone is finally here. I'm always alone. I'm sitting here by myself. I'm in my own nutty world. I'm so happy. I feel seen. I feel seen right now. Then someone, I'm presuming one of those housewives, she says, are texting her, sends her video of Andy Cohen addressing the reckoning at BravoCon for the first time. My thoughts are that Bravo and the shows that are on Bravo bring millions of people so much joy and so much happiness, he said on stage to a round of applause. Frankel and I watched the video together, to which she responds out loud, is that an answer? He can't answer it. Why can't he answer it? When Cohen spoke to Today this week, he referred to Frankel as that former housewife. Not long after Frankel's daughter and her fiancé, Paul Bernan, I was later told he's a big fan of the YouTube compilation Bethany Frankel Dragging Everyone, arrive. And I get a brief glimpse at the housewife being an actual wife, sending her daughter off to do homework and nagging Bernan about all sorts of things. He seems to like it, calling her affectionately a real Joan Rivers. When the two of them get into a disagreement about how early they eat dinner, Bernan looks at me and with a wink says, Bethany is the hero of every story. Frankel, on the other hand, has reclined in her seat, full of girl dinner and quiet, for maybe the first time today. I'm exhausted. I just hit the wall, she says. Pimpin' ain't easy, right? End scene. I mean, can we even? Can we even with that? I will never get over it. I will never get over it. It's one of those things. It brings meaning in my life. There is a space in my life that will remain forever for laying in a sea salt pool bath thing yesterday, just floating to heaven above, and also a similar comparable feeling that reading this piece in my mind and out loud brings me. It is truly a gift. It was my birthday gift to myself and possibly to you as well to bring it on this AG bonus episode. And I'm so thankful. A true birthday wish. So kudos to all of us for the return of Jenna fucking Lyons, for the hopes that I will one day buy myself a Bravo merch, Jenna, LOL, maybe some Jenna merch, maybe those eyelash shenanigans. I would actually like to try them. I've never tried fake eyelashes before, or eyelash extensions. I don't know the proper term. I apologize. But in addition to that, to get myself a Jessel tank top, because so many creators sell them and one day I will wear them. Maybe now's the time while they're filming. Can you imagine if I stumble upon a filming of Real Housewives of New York season 15, also known as season 2, and see Jessel tank while wearing a tank top, T-A-A-N-K. I would love it. In the meantime, thanks to all of you for listening to this bonus episode. I'm still doing the Bethany Frankel reading voice. To listening to this episode, you can follow me on social at Dame Galley. Join the AG Patreon. So many episodes up. That Satchel Spectacular going up this week, where I will be sharing and featuring so many of your satchels of gold, your thoughts and feels, questions and concerns about all things Bravo, Housewives, and more. And you can, and of course, named after Her Holiness Kelly Cloran Ben-Simone from Scary Island. And you can slide into my DMs on Instagram, again, at Dame Galley, and send me your long form thoughts and feels, questions and concerns. Just make sure to include your first name and town. And thanks so much for listening to this Housewives History episode, this Reading Rainbow deep dive. Let me know your thoughts on the cast news. I know, honestly, that Jenna fucking Lyons is going to be a shock to a lot of people. So I'm curious for your thoughts about everyone returning. Maybe Cy DeSilva's return was a surprise for people. It honestly was not a shock to me. I think it was a good idea for her to come back. I think it was a good idea for everyone to come back. My number one, though, birthday wish when it comes to all of this is for them to certainly ensure at least one new full-time cast member. I think the minimum genuinely has to be two, and hopefully a friend of. So we'll see what happens there. And could we imagine a universe in which an OG makes some sort of cameo? I don't know if they'll want to stay away from that entirely, but I would honestly be very into a lunch of like maybe Lou and Sonia having a nosh with two members of the cast. I would be into it. So we'll see what happens. Thanks so much for listening to this episode, and I will talk to you soon. Bye-bye.